Blog Talk Radio.
In Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, December the 15th. Tonight, we're going to be chatting with our friend Alan Wall, catch up with Alan a little bit. You know, we normally talk to Alan when he goes down to Mexico, and then he writes a report about his trip and what he saw down there. I don't think he's probably been to Mexico in a while because of all the problems with COVID. So tonight, we're going to get some idea of what's happening in Mexico. And we're also going to talk about the elections. Alan wrote a very interesting article about, you know, election rules and procedures and maybe something we should do up here to make the elections less controversial. I mean, you know, Mexico actually has a pretty good election system, something that a lot of Americans don't know. But, you know, they have a pretty good system. You know, they know pretty quickly who won, and they've got a pretty good system of voting, which I wish we would take a look at that up here. So let me say hello to our friend Alan Wall. How are you, Alan?
Well, fine, Silvio. It's great to be on the show after all this time.
Yeah, it's been a few months. I was trying to remember. I had you on sometime this year, I think, right? Earlier,
yes,
maybe when you went to Mexico.
May, I believe. Yeah, it was May.
Yeah,
May
you went to Mexico.
That's what I wrote down here.
Yeah, but you went to Mexico last Christmas, right? And I think I remember.
Yes, we did.
I always have you on after you go to Mexico for Christmas.
Right.
So we probably spoke earlier in the year too, before all of this COVID stuff. When we were off the air for a second before the show, we were talking a little bit about the weather, and I had to check the weather here just to let you know that it's 41. It feels like 34. And 50% chance of precipitation in the next hour. So maybe we're going to get some of that snow that is happening
hopefully.
A couple of hours north. Yeah. I don't think we'll get a lot of it, but we're going to get some precipitation tonight for sure. Now, you were telling me that it's a little cold where you are.
Yeah, it's colder, but not super cold. You know, it's not that cold. But the snow, which... It's good. The farmers like it. You know, the farmers like the snow. It's good for the wheat.
Right, right. And that's right. Mother Nature has a reason for everything. You know, I mean, everything has its place in Mother Nature. Well, you've been, as always, writing some great stuff, and you wrote about the elections. But before we get there, though, I want to talk a little bit about Mexico. I got some information today that the things in Mexico City are... let's just say, not real good, that people are very concerned about COVID. The numbers are very difficult to follow. Most of the people I'm talking to down there do not believe the numbers. So whatever you hear officially, they say, well, it's probably worse than that. So, I mean, you know, Mexicans tend to be cynical about government, but I think in this case they may be right, Alan. The numbers are probably off. But what are you hearing? I mean, what are some of the things and some of the reports that you've been getting about COVID in Mexico?
Well, the same thing that you heard, that whereas in the United States, a lot of times we hear stories about non-COVID deaths reported as COVID, in Mexico, you hear the opposite, that, you know, COVID deaths are reported as non-COVID, and so they don't trust the statistics. A lot of people are distrustful of hospitals. There have even been some attacks on health workers, but what I think is also very striking about Mexico coronavirus is, well, I checked tonight, and at according to the Worldometer website, which updates daily, you know, on the coronavirus cases worldwide, Mexico is number 13 in the world in cases, but number 4 in deaths. So it has a higher death rate than, well, not death rate, but death the quantity of death, you know, the amount of people dying. More people dying than its place would indicate, you know, from cases. And so that there's really something going on there. And that's just the official figures. You know, it may even be higher.
Right. Well, a couple of things that I heard today, too, is that there's a real problem with hospital beds, that, you know, the hospitals are just completely overrun. They just, it's very difficult. I'm not saying that people are out in the streets. You know, I'm not saying it's that bad. But the hospitals are really pretty much working up to maximum.
Yes.
I guess that would mean private and public hospitals. They do have some private hospitals down there, but they also have some very big public hospitals. So that's a big problem. They're running out of beds. I would assume if that's true, then they're probably running out of supplies too. You know. And if that's true, I'm sure that there must be. I mean, it's probably very tough to be a doctor right there, right now, and a nurse because, you know, obviously doctors and nurses are a, you know, there's only so many of them, you know. So how many, you know, if you have a crisis of this magnitude, you know, there's probably a shortage of supplies and everything for Alan.
Oh, yes. My mother-in-law passed away in Mexico. Mm-hmm. Early part of the year, right before this outbreak, you know, and I spent some time at the hospital, and you know, I just wonder, wow, you know, what's it like now with all these cases? It's critical, and I noticed that on the border, they say a lot of people are just crossing the border because there's a loophole in the coronavirus decree that. You know, they're just not letting people in unless it's essential, but they are letting coronavirus sufferers into the United States.
And do you think, and I'm just guessing, I don't know the answer, but do you think that that has anything to do with El Paso? Because El Paso is really one of the worst spots in the country right now. I mean, not up here.
Yeah,
up here,
yeah.
Dallas, I mean, Dallas is doing okay. I mean, we have a problem, but, you know, we're doing okay.
Right.
But El Paso isn't, and I'm just thinking out loud, that must be the reason why all these people coming over.
Right, I think so. And also there have been peaks in other areas of the border at different times. And yet, okay, when we talk about the mainstream media, why aren't they bringing this up also? You know, they were ready to blame the whole thing on Trump. And remember how even Biden blamed Trump for, you know, 250,000 people dying.
Right.
And just incredible. But and they don't bring up these types of details, which that's part of the big picture.
I agree. I mean, it's almost like they're trying to say, no, it cannot possibly come in that way because they call you a racist if you say that the virus comes in from that way. But, you know, when it comes to covering a pandemic – you just got to tell people the facts and get the politics out of it. And if there's a problem in El Paso because of Mexico, let's talk about it. I mean, I'm sure the people in El Paso are not happy that their hospitals are being flooded with people from Mexico. I'm pretty sure that's the case. I mean, those are their hospitals, Alan. So that's, you know, that's really interesting because I suspected that was the problem. The other thing, too, that is unique about this pandemic or this crisis, I should say, that normally, like when you have an earthquake or when you have something bad, you get assistance from other countries. Like in the third world, they would get help, you know, from other countries. Like when you had that big tsunami in Indonesia years ago or the problem in Haiti, you know, some of the big countries step up and send help. But this time around, everybody is being impacted. So there's no, I mean, we're not going to be able to send a lot of help to Mexico, although apparently we have sent some ventilators, as I understand. So it's one of those situations where everybody's kind of on their own, and you're going to go as far as your resources because nobody can really help you, Alan.
It's kind of like every country for itself.
That's
and
it.
And especially on closing borders, I mean, that's gone on worldwide.
That's right. No, that's right. That's right. In fact, there was an interesting story today, or a couple of days ago, I should say, that President López Obrador was not really crazy about, you know, opening the border with the United States because, you know, he doesn't want caravans going through his country at this moment. I mean, that would be a real problem. I don't think Mexicans would put up with it. I think literally Mexicans would push him back. That's just my sense, Alan.
Right, right. And that's another question, you know, if we're talking about, you know, if Biden is inaugurated January 20th, what's his policy going to be on all this? They're already talking about a Biden rush, you know, more people crossing because they think
right.
they're going to get an amnesty.
Right. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I was just gonna, and a lot of them come from Central America. So that affects Mexico also. And so it's really complicated.
Yeah. I couldn't think of a worse time for a caravan than in the middle of a pandemic.
Yes.
I mean, if you just think about it logically, I mean, a caravan is probably a bad idea at any time. But the idea
right.
that we would all of a sudden have thought, first of all, I actually don't think that Mexico will permit it. I think Mexico will block it at their border and say, you're not coming in.
They've been doing lately. So, you know, probably will, regardless of who is the president.
Yeah, because they have their own self-interest here in this issue. So bad situation in Mexico right now and really everywhere. I mean, to be fair, I was talking to some people the other day from El Salvador, and I asked them, you know, what are you hearing from your family? And they say, oh, it's really bad, really bad. Venezuela is a disaster for a lot of reasons.
Oh,
Cuba
yeah.
is having
yeah.
a lot of problems. Colombia apparently is having a lot of problems. Brazil, I mean, it seems to be a problem everywhere.
This
pandemic. So nobody's catching much of a break. Let me do this, Alan. Let me take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll get into your thoughts about the election and how we can make our elections better, something that I agree with you on. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back with our friend Alan right after this. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. We're chatting with our friend Alan Wall, talking a little bit about Mexico, and now we're going to talk about the election. But, Alan, I wanted you to take a minute and talk about yourself and your website. We have a link to your website and the show information, but talk a little bit about what you write and, you know, what interests you. So take a few minutes and sell yourself, Alan. Do a little marketing.
Well, because of my previous experience residing in Mexico, I'm now back in the United States. I sort of found a niche writing about how Mexico views immigration and also other related topics. And my website is alanwall.info, and most of the articles I put there are previously articles that I had published on, you know, other websites. But I like to have one place where I can just put all of my stuff in order to direct people there.
And some of the websites that you write, share that with us.
Well, that would be, U.S. Incorporated and VDare.com and sometimes News with Views. And I used to write, I enjoyed writing for Mexico or Mexidata.info, but that site is shut down. 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's a shame because that was one of my favorites too. In fact, that's how we met. when you
that's
wrote
how we met. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Many, many years ago, and that's how we met. And that was I thought that was a really good website. It had a lot
oh,
of
yes,
good information
yes.
about Mexico, and unfortunately, like you say, it shut down, and that's a shame. I don't know why it shut down. I have not had a an explanation of it, but our friend Bernard Thompson was the editor, and I thought he did a great job of editing material and always having good, interesting articles there. Well, let's talk about the election. You obviously have a great deal of interest in the election itself. I made a comment at the beginning of the show that I thought Mexico had a pretty good election system, the way people vote and their identification process and voter ID. I think that does. Do you agree with me on that?
Oh, definitely. I have for years have said this is something we can learn from Mexico. You know, they had a problem, and they actually solved it. And they have an excellent registration, voter registration, and voter ID system. It is really well done. And I look at that, and I think, you know, why can't we institute something similar to that in the United States? But every time you bring it up, they shout you down and say, no, that would disenfranchise voters. But it's an excellent system. Number one, you know, everybody in the country, every voter, has mm-hmm. a government-issued ID card. And so, but of course, well, you have to prove that you're a citizen, and you have to prove your identity and your residence in order to get that card.
Right.
And now my wife is a Mexican citizen, mm-hmm. and I've seen her card, and I've gone with her to the voting. Now, I don't meddle in Mexican politics. I want to make that clear.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I've gone with her to vote and watched how they do it. It's really impressive. I mean, the whole system of the registration and all the things that go along with it.
Well, if you interfere with the Mexican political system, your wife is going to throw the 33 at you. Article 33,
yeah.
She'll throw that at you. For the listeners who may not know what I was talking about, Article 33 of the Mexican Constitution says that a foreigner cannot get involved in Mexican politics. So if you're in Mexico and you're visiting down there, or you live down there or whatever, and you're not a Mexican citizen, you cannot mess with Mexican politics. And you know, Alan, I got to tell you, there was a story about a couple of students. I think you and I spoke about this. In fact, I think you were the
yes.
one who told me about it. There were a couple of students, this was maybe 10 years ago during the Vicente Fox administration, when they were talking about building that airport. Remember that airport east of Mexico City, that huge airport they were going to build
as
an alternative to the one they have now? And,
yeah.
you know, they had this thing all laid out, but there were protests from some of the native groups because apparently they were going to be using sacred land or whatever. And eventually they took down the idea. But there were some American students who were down there at a university who decided to protest with their Mexican friends. And they ended up in front of a judge who reminded
oh, yeah.
them that Article 33,
right.
and we mean it.
Yep, yep. And they can just boot you right out of the country if you're meddling, even in a kind of a low-level way, you know.
Yeah. No, they're dead serious about that. Article 33. So that's what your wife is going to threaten you with. You know, you write too many opinions about Mexico, and I'm going to throw the 33 at you. I had a – it's funny. When I lived in Mexico, I had an American friend who would always say that to me, because if I expressed an opinion, he would look at me and say, be careful, they're going to throw the 33 at you. And so anyway, didn't mean to get us off the topic, but that is a funny story, I thought. So they have a pretty good system down there because they do a great job of identifying the voter, which is exactly what we don't do up here. Now, we do
exactly.
it in Texas.
Exactly.
We do it
yes,
in Texas.
Some states are better than others.
Yeah, we do it here
yeah.
very well. But obviously what we saw in Milwaukee, Detroit, Atlanta, and Philadelphia, I don't think there was a lot of identifying of voters going on there, Alan.
Yeah, and it combines with other problems, and of course there were various problems in this. And what another thing I like about the Mexican system, you know, the card, it's got your photograph on it, it's got a holographic image, it's got your fingerprint, other features, you know, security features, and then there's even more though. When you go to vote, the poll workers have a book with everybody in the precinct and their photograph. So you can look at the person, you can look at the photo ID, and you can look at the book. It's, wow, I mean, what a great system.
Yeah, and it is, I mean, it is kind of interesting because over the years, Americans have always made jokes about Mexican elections, but I would argue today in 2020 that they have a better election system than we do. Now, one thing we have to remember is that here we vote state by state. So every state sort of has its own way. Whereas in Mexico, they have one national, you know, one national ID or whatever. So it's a little different. But you know, I just do not understand why we do not have a photo ID to vote with whatever identification. I mean, it would seem to me that the most important objective of government should be to guarantee fair and honest elections, Alan.
Exactly. And of course, we have to have ID and photo ID for all sorts of other things. You know, if you cash a check. In my hometown, I have to use ID to cash a check. And, you know, get into places and buy things, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And yet the one thing that they don't think we can do it, and the argument is, they'll say, this disenfranchises poor people or minorities. Well, can we not do what Mexico did? Give everybody a card. So there is no expense for the voter.
Right. And I also, but I also think that it's an insult to the intelligence of people to say to them that, you know, that somehow they're not capable of having identification or something. I mean, it just seems to me, you know, that you're talking down to people. I mean, if somebody said, you know, you need an ID to cash a check, I don't think anybody would call that racist. You know, when you go to the bank to make a deposit or cash a check on the, you know, in the drive-in, they ask you for a driver's license.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of places around here where you have to show your driver's license to get anything done. I mean, you need a driver's license to get a library card. So, I mean, why aren't we doing that kind of thing? Yeah.
Well,
now,
you
got to
suppose.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Well, I mean, I'm just saying you got to suppose if these people that object to it have apparently ulterior motives, you know. Because a lot of countries in the world, even consider countries we would consider third world, poor, or dysfunctional, a lot of them have voter ID, you know, and we can't. It's just amazing.
It is. And like you say, it makes you wonder what the real motive is. I mean, because it would seem to me that if you tell a citizen, look, you have to have a voter ID, well, okay, I do. It makes sense. I mean, it makes sense to require something like that for the benefit of the country. I mean, I it's hard for me to think that there is anybody who wants to have dishonest elections. I'm being facetious when I say that, of course. But, I mean, there are people who obviously want dishonest elections. And I think we just saw one, honestly, up here.
Yeah.
I mean, I really do believe that there were serious irregularities in Atlanta, in Philadelphia, Milwaukee, and Detroit. Whether they were big enough to change the election, I don't know. But some of these elections were so close that, you know, you got to at least consider that, Alan.
Exactly. But they don't even want us to find out. That's the problem, you know. And it'll be harder and harder in the future to determine that. And so, yeah, it's a big mess. And especially the attitude of the MSM, the mainstream media, just, it's totally baseless. There's nothing to it. It's fake accusations. They're not even taking it seriously at all.
Right. In fact, they're not even reporting it. like you say.
Right.
I mean, there's over 1,000 people, over 1,000 citizens who have submitted affidavits. Now, affidavits, as you know, those are legal documents. I mean, it's not like writing an article in a blog, you know, where you know you can say whatever you want, and no, there's no legal harm to it. But when you write an affidavit, you know, you are legally bound by what you say.
And there's
1,000 citizens who have written affidavits, and they're not being interviewed at all by the media. I mean, they're being completely overlooked, which I find that completely irresponsible. So what do you think of this idea? One last thought here before we go. What do you think of the idea of having the Attorney General? Now, we're going to have, a new Attorney General here for the last 30 days of either Mr. Trump's presidency or his first term, however it shakes out. But that Attorney General creates a special counsel for the purpose of investigating the election. Because I actually think that would be good for the country to know what happened. And if, you know, if the special counsel comes back in a year or so and says, no, Biden was elected honestly, okay, I'll accept that. Right now I don't, but, you know, if a special investigation came back, then I'll be the first one to accept it. But I don't think it's healthy to have 40% of the country thinking that he stole the election, Alan.
No, of course not. And is this a portent of what the future holds? In the future, is it going to be like some countries where every single election is disputed? That's
right.
A very stressful place to be, actually.
That's right. You're exactly right. There are also consequences that go beyond the election, and I'm sure you remember there were two recent elections in Mexico that I think really had a very negative impact on the country. Obviously, 2006. Now, in the interest of full disclosure, I was happy that Calderon won, but I have to be honest. I'm glad that Calderon was elected. But at the same time, no one disputes that election had divided the country tremendously. And the other election was 1988, when the computer broke down.
Oh, right. Yes.
And I do think that election had a very negative impact, on the fabric of the country itself. I think people began to have doubts about elections after that night, Alan. So hopefully that doesn't happen here. But it could happen.
Right, that's the danger, you know. And when they don't take us seriously, they don't take these charges seriously. That adds to the problem. If they were more transparent, they say, "Well, I think Biden wins. I won, and here's why." And they try to meet you halfway, but no, they're not. They're not dealing in good faith.
No, not at all. On the contrary, they're basically telling you to shut up. You know,
exactly.
Saying,
yes.
You know, yeah, just shut up and drink your milk. You know, like I guess our parents used to do. You know, just shut up, drink your milk, and go to your room. Well, okay, I guess parents can do that, but not today. I mean, it's really sad because it does so much damage to the country. I mean, everybody's very stressed out. You know, we have a pandemic, and now we have an election like this.
Yes.
I feel kind of sorry for Joe Biden, because it's going to be a very difficult presidency for him. There's almost like these investigations are coming. I just heard today that Senator Johnson from Wisconsin says they're going to hold hearings on the election. So it would seem to me that if I was Joe Biden, I would say, come on, guys, let's clean this up. Let's just work together so that we can, you know, prove that I won. You know, instead of avoiding it, I would be up front trying to make sure that everybody knew I won the election.
Right. Yeah.
Well, it doesn't look like he's going to be doing that, which is, I think, regrettable. But, Alan, enjoy your cold weather and give my best to your family. And I want to thank you again for coming on the show and for the great work that you do in your articles. And we do have a link to alanwall.info on the show information. So keep writing these articles. When do you think you'll get back to Mexico?
Wow, I don't know. We're not going this Christmas. I'm hoping
right.
maybe next, hopefully next summer, depending on the COVID situation.
Hmm.
But I don't know.
If,
you know, at this point.
If an American goes to Mexico, can he come back, he or she come back?
Well, yeah, the problem is if they're leaving, they can leave, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, when we tried to get in, we couldn't even get very far the last time we tried to get in. We couldn't get very far, or I couldn't, you know, they were in a pretty tight border. That was last summer.
Mm-hmm.
And going into Mexico, it was pretty tight.
Because there's a lady that I know here who wants to go to Mexico, and she's a Mexican national, and she wants to go to Mexico to see her family. And I told her, well, be careful because you may not be able to come back. This is a lady who is in my class at college, I teach. And
yeah.
And she said that she was going to, you know, I asked the class who was going to, if everybody was going to be around or traveling, and everybody's staying around. They're not traveling. But this lady
yeah.
said she was going down to Mexico, and she's a Mexican citizen. And I just told her, be careful that you can get back in, because Americans,
right,
I suppose,
right.
can get back in, but a Mexican may not be able to come back.
That's right. So you might get trapped on one side and for the
yeah.
time being. Yeah.
Because they have issued, the State Department has issued travel warnings, right, to several
yes,
places.
Right. Right.
In Mexico. All right, Alan, thank you so much once again for your time, and it's always a pleasure to chat with you. Merry Christmas to you and to your family.
Oh, yes.
Do your kids still believe in Santa Claus?
Oh, well, they never really did believe in Santa Claus.
Oh, okay.
Claus.
All right. All right.
but you know, they enjoy all the festivities and everything.
Well, I gotta tell you a story. I think your kids might enjoy this. We have three, as you know, and one day the oldest one, we're getting to our parents' home, right, to my parents' home. We're parking the car, and the oldest one comes to my wife and says in a very secretive way, he whispers in her ear, and I said, what's going on? Why is he whispering in your ear? And my wife goes, he just told me that he knows who Santa Claus is, that he doesn't believe in it anymore. So he was whispering in our ear because he knew his two younger brothers still believed in Santa Claus, and he didn't want to spoil their Christmas.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was kind of a funny story. So kids eventually figure it out.
And sometimes they pretend to still believe because they think they'll get more presents.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, my gosh.
I've heard of that too, yeah.
The unlimited budget of Santa Claus.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't have to worry about budgets with him. If they think it's you and your mom and dad, then they have to worry about a budget. But when it's
yeah.
Santa Claus, they can ask for anything they want, and Santa, of course, will bring it to them. But, Alan, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure, and Merry Christmas to you. Happy New Year. And I hope you get to see your family in Mexico soon. Hopefully we won't have to wait that long to do a show, but
yeah.
I always enjoy talking to you when you go to Mexico.
Oh, well, thank you, Hank. It's great to talk to you, and, well, Merry Christmas to all of y'all, too.
Oh, thank you so much. Alan Wall, our good friend, and, of course, Alan writes quite a bit, and we have a link to his the website. He's got a website, like he was saying, where he puts everything in, you know, all of his articles from different places, and he puts them in one website. And then you can go there and find out what he writes about, whether it's immigration, whether it's politics, whether it's Mexico, and he's written a great deal about Mexico because of the experience of having lived down there. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, where it's going to get cold tonight. I can tell you that much. Good night, everybody.